Hi, I'm Vicki Griffin, and welcome to Living Free, a series that focuses on beating bad habits, building a better brain, better habits, and a better life. In this series, we're talking about changing bad habits for good. The roots of addiction are so deep and tangled, and, well, they evolve over time. What starts as a curiosity can often become a conditioned response, and then, well, we develop a compulsion, and it ends up as a heavy chain that isolates and destroys life and health at every level. You may be experiencing that right now.
Back when I was about 5 years old, I remember sitting on my bunk bed and just praying, just talking to Jesus. I loved him. I cared about him. It was as real as if he were right here. And later in my life, I fell away. Not that I fell away in the sense of not believing. I've never not believed. There's never been a time in my life where I didn't believe there's a God. And I believe that it was the God of the Bible. I believe that it was Jesus. I believed he was the Savior of the world. And I would have even said, yes, he is my Savior. I've accepted him as my Savior. But I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't walking with Jesus. But as a child, I did. As a child, I loved Jesus. And over the years, life began to change. I think one of the big defining factors that really began to change me personally was we had kids coming over and trying to steal things from us, and it just began to be a problem in the neighborhood where if we were out on our bikes, people would chase us and just these different events, and it created fear in me. And that fear led me away from God. Once again, not in the sense that I say, oh, I don't believe in him, but just that I stopped thinking about him because I was always thinking of how could I save myself. And this progressed for some time, and as you're letting go of God, not thinking about him, your life, you begin to fill that, or at least try to fill that with something else. And that's what I did. I look back, and as a teenager, somebody in my family gave me my first cigar, and very rapidly, I became addicted to tobacco. And once again, I came from a decent home. My parents loved me. I knew that. But very rapidly, I became addicted, and I began to think that I had an addictive personality later in life. I realized that, but here I was taking up my first cigar, went from that to chewing tobacco, and it didn't matter what form it was. Cigarettes became the most common staple of, you know, tobacco that I used, but we tried the kind where you sniff it up your nose. I used chewing tobacco regularly, and I found that I could quit at any point. I could quit my chewing tobacco at any point, and I could switch over to cigarettes. And I could quit the cigarettes at any point, and I could go back to chewing tobacco. But I couldn't overcome the tobacco, right? I was addicted. You know, you lie to yourself as it is. And it's interesting because what happens, and many people don't know that when you buy those little tins of chewing tobacco, they actually put something like fiberglass chips all throughout it. And what that does is as you tuck it into your lip, it ends up cutting your gums and you know, around your teeth and your lip, and so it begins to cut. And the reason they do that is because that helps the nicotine find its way into the bloodstream. And I mean, that's crazy. I can't believe it's even legal, but you know, it's big business, and what do you do? And so I was addicted to it, and this is what I was struggling with. And I tried to quit after a while. But before trying to quit, I remember when I didn't realize that I was addicted yet, I was sitting on a park bench with a good friend of mine. And as we're sitting there, he's sitting beside me, we're sitting there and we're smoking together. And this man came by, and he walks by and he says, "Hey kids, quit while you can." And I thought, whatever. I will never become addicted to, you know, smoking. I mean, I didn't even believe it was really possible. That's the thing. And so, you know, years later, when I couldn't give up the tobacco, this came back to mind. I can always remember exactly where I was, the park bench right there. And I can remember that man walking by, and I realized, wow, he was right. He was right. Maybe he knew from personal experience, I don't know. And I went on from tobacco, and not long after, the friends came over, and there was always alcohol in the house. We had a liquor cabinet, there was wine in the fridge, and there was beer in the closet. And so there was always plenty to drink around. And I remember friends came over and had some drinks, and later on I began to start drinking, and not long later, I'm to the point, or not far after that, I was drinking myself to sleep at night. Now, not socially. It wasn't like, oh, I was just having a party on the weekend. Sure, we would do that, but I would just literally drink myself to, and these high school years, you know, all alone, nobody there. I'd stay awake till 2 or 3 in the morning watching Discovery Channel, drinking myself to sleep at night. I would do my homework. I would study for tests while I was drinking. And I even felt like, because I always had this mind that was always racing, I thought, oh, it just kind of calms me down and makes it even easier to study, right? I went from cigarettes to alcohol. And from alcohol, you know, some things that we can try to fill our lives with, they're not even substances. I went from that, and then I tried to kind of fill the hole with relationships. So you go from one girlfriend and you have this seemingly great relationship. You feel like you're in love, right? And then you break up and you're heartbroken. And well, obviously that's a great time to have a cigarette or alcohol, it seems, but no, that just drives you deeper in a hole. So there I was trying to find completeness in a substance, whether tobacco or whether alcohol, whether it be a relationship or maybe even an education. But I was missing out on the only thing that can bring true completeness. Later on in life, I found out that the Bible tells us. The Bible says that the only place we actually find completeness is in Jesus. Later, something happened in my life. My best friend, he had been an atheist. Our whole life, he was an atheist. But something happened. We met some girls at the mall, and Andy got one of the girls' phone numbers. He called her up, and she was a Christian. He's an atheist. She invites him to church, and what does every good atheist do? He goes to church because he wants the girl, right? And he goes to church, and he actually does give his life to Jesus, and it's not for the girl. He actually gave his life to Jesus. And that being the case, he came back to us because we had been messing around with girls and the drugs and the tobacco and alcohol, and he said, I can't live this life anymore. I can't do this anymore. I just can't be hanging out with you guys. And we're like, what on earth, bro? What happened? And he told us he gave his life to Jesus. And at first we're like, what? But then the Holy Spirit spoke to me in essence. Not that I heard a voice, but this thought came to me. Maybe he's found what we're actually all looking for. Sometime later, I got invited to a Bible prophecy seminar. And at that Bible prophecy seminar, they were going point by point showing, number one, that you could trust in the Word of God. Bible prophecy revealed that nations of the world would rise and fall. And then you look through history and it came to pass over thousands of years, exactly like the Bible said. And it's like, man, this is solid. Now, I already believe the Bible, but this just gave a foundation for it. But it didn't stop there. Continued to go through, and I saw new things from the Word of God I had never seen. And then they began to talk about health in the Bible. Now, the church that I grew up on had this concept, and somebody actually told me that God doesn't care about your body. He cares only about your spiritual life. And here I was, and they were showing me from the Bible that in the Old Testament, God cared about the health of the Israelites. They get to the New Testament. 3 John 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So clearly the New Testament, it cares about your health. Jesus cares about your health. He healed more people than he preached to, or at least he more often was healing than he was preaching, I should say. And so health is a very important part of the Bible. But not only that, they showed me from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, What know you not, that your body is the temple of God? Our bodies are to be a temple for God. And then it says, Know ye not, don't you know that your body is the temple of God? And then it says that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in you. And then in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us that, listen, this is the temple of God. Your body is the temple of God. And you, if you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you. Now that was heavy. You could think, oh man, that's kind of harsh. I didn't think that. I thought, wow, that's loving. God cares about my body. before I thought he didn't. And so I was trying to overcome cigarettes. I was trying to overcome these things on my own strength, not realizing that God wanted to give me the victory so that my temple, this body temple, could be pure, a place for him to inhabit. And that night when I saw that, I had a tin of chewing tobacco in my pocket. And you know what I did? I went and threw that thing away. And by the grace of God, I never went back to it. Now, time and time again in the past, I had tried to quit. I had taken packs of cigarettes, crushed them in my hands, thrown them out the car window as I was driving. Which, by the way, you shouldn't do. It's littering. But you've had it up to here. And so I tried to quit, but I couldn't quit. And what happened? What happened is Jesus gave me the victory.
When we come back, we'll get into the topic for today, Engineered for Success, the Learning and Addicted Brain. Stay with us.
Thank you for watching Hope Channel's production of Living Free. We invite you to purchase a copy of Vicki's book, Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. This colorful, information-packed volume contains practical tools for building mental, physical, and spiritual strength while overcoming bad habits for good. Enjoy recipes and personal stories in an easy-to-read format. For more information as well as free resources, visit lifestylematters.com or call the number on your screen.
Welcome back. Now, let's take a deeper look into this subject. You may not feel that you have an addiction, but you've taken a deep dive into a lifestyle that's dredged up more trash than treasure, and you're ready for a change. You may be experiencing an empty place, and you've not been able to fill it. You're searching for a better way of thinking as well as living. And if that's the case, this series is for you. Let's begin by taking a look at a superstorm we all vividly remember. It played out on television. Can we ever forget that name? Katrina. It was the second strongest hurricane in United States history. On August 23, 2005, it slammed into New Orleans and several other Gulf states with winds up to 175 miles an hour. This hurricane generated massive winds, relentless rain, and flooding. More than $125 billion of structural damage occurred. A stunning 80% of New Orleans was under 20 feet of water. Personal property, possessions, businesses, mercilessly destroyed. More importantly, 15 million lives were disrupted, and 2,000 people lost their lives. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 tells us that God often uses the things that we can see to help us to clearly understand the things that we cannot see. Notice this vivid comparison of just such a city with mankind in his broken condition. A person without self-control is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Two problems. So let's look at this. What kind of challenges hinder healthy brain function? That broken city powerfully illustrates the broken brain, a brain that may have been influenced over time by stress, depression, bad habits, and addictions. There are three major factors that influence your brain: genes, environment, and choices. When it comes to genes, you can't change their structure, but their function and activity is dramatically influenced by diet, lifestyle, exercise, and even the way you think. What about environment? Your external environment is what surrounds you. Your internal environment is how you think. God has a plan, and he has the power to change your brain, your surroundings, and your thought world, and the trajectory of your life. Well, what about our choices? Every choice you make, and even how you think, affects your brain. You may feel right now that you've lost the ability to make the choices that you want to make. And if that's you, stay with us. The truth is, we're designed to form habits. We all have them. In fact, Elbert Hubbard said, "Habits are our friends when they're good ones. They're the great economizer of energy." Abraham Lincoln famously said this, "Certain habits of men are like luxurious vines they destroy the trees that they decorate. If you live in the South, you've seen the kudzu vines and the damage that they can do. So it is true that addictions are strong, but the weapons available to win the war against addiction are even stronger. But as in any war, it's important to have a plan, a decided strategy for battle in order to achieve a decided victory over the enemy. And in this case, that enemy is that habit or that lifestyle that is stealing your joy, your energy, even your life. Nora Volkow of the National Institute for Drug Abuse has said this: once a person has experienced addiction, changes have taken place in the brain that involve multiple brain circuits. So when bad habits have hijacked the brain, when your good intentions are just dashed by drives that take you where you do not want to go, it takes a strategy, a plan, to reclaim control of that runaway behavior. The addicted brain is fighting hard, but we need to learn how to fight smart, and that's what we're here to do today. Fortunately for you and for me, God has designed your brain and mine, the human brain, even in adulthood, with a powerful capacity to reshape itself, learn, and grow new connections. God has designed you so that with His creative power in you, the strongholds of addiction can be torn down and you can build a new life. The good news for you today, and for me, is that new nerve cells are born in the brain every day in regions affected by depression and addictions, and they go together. This is great news. God has engineered our brains for renewal, recovery, and restoration over time. I love this quote from the Ministry of Health and Healing. In fact, I keep it in my Bible. Although a man may have sunk to the very depths of sin, Christ is able and longs to deliver. He will set free the captive that is held by weakness and misfortune and the chains of sin. There you have it. It may be the environment. It may be your choices. It may be the genetic deck that you've been dealt. But whether by choice, chance, or circumstance, you were made to make it. And God's plan is to weaponize your worst weakness and make it into your strength. That's what we're going to experience during this series. That covers it all. Whether you're weak in your resolve, weary of choices that hurt you and others, there is hope. That's why we can learn in the first place and unlearn too. Creation living is what God wants to do in you. Creation living is a strategy for living a daily life of progress and healing. This healing involves character, conduct, and connections. And we're going to focus on four areas of growth, which we will develop in this series. Creating an environment is one of them. Your environment includes your external environment of what surrounds you and your internal environment of how you think. What about creating a lifestyle? How important is lifestyle to mental, physical, spiritual health, and freedom from addictions? Well, lifestyle choices have a major impact on mood, memory, learning, cravings, and behavior, as well as chronic conditions such as diabetes, obesity, heart disease, and dementia risk. Creating connections. This is a tough one, especially in our society today. But we're hardwired for connections with God and with each other. And addictions are so isolating. Overcoming addictions sometimes involves a painful process of severing harmful connections, but establishing healing relationships that foster health and positive habits. But most importantly, we're born with a need for a saving, healing relationship with God. And then there's situational awareness. Situational awareness? What's that? Well, situational awareness is key to maintaining progress. It's knowing what's going on around you and using hindsight. Well, that's remembering what's past. Insight, that's wisdom to know what to do on your journey. And foresight, the ability to predict trouble, to avoid traps that will cause you to stumble. I believe that that's what it means to be created in God's image. Let's start building. Let's start building right now. You don't want to start building on the busiest day of the calendar, which is tomorrow. So let's start building better choices, better habits, and better health one step at a time. Let's start with some practical first steps. This one's easy. Drink more water. It's going to start to flush the system and clear your head. Eat more fresh fruits instead of pastries and candy. And go for a salt stroll. Start walking. Get some sort of exercise every single day. And reach out to God. He's waiting for you. You know, you've heard the saying, practice makes perfect. But as I've said today, it also makes progress. What we learn by doing. And I can tell you, God will implant within you the determination that you need to break free from the habits that are hurting you. But you need to ask for it. The choice is yours. You can't do what only God can do, but He won't do what you have to do. Intentional faith, combined with positive attitudes and choices, restore brain-body systems. Your brain is continually remodeling itself according to what it learns. Intentional faith, combined with positive attitudes and choices, restore brain-body systems. I love this promise and depend upon it for my own journey of growth. I have seen His ways and will heal Him. I will also lead Him and restore comforts to Him. God doesn't just want you to be comfortable, although He will. He wants you to become a comforter. God Himself will help you to recover lost ground, remap your brain, and build habits within you that are free, free from destructive habits that hurt you and others. This lifestyle plan is simple, but it's comprehensive and it's energizing. It's learned over time, so be patient with yourself. But won't you join me today and say yes to God's comprehensive renewal plan for your life? Why wait? Take hold of your new life today.
You're watching just one of 13 compelling Hope Channel episodes of Living Free. As your heart is touched with the practical teachings in this series, you may want to start your own Living Free support group. Free discussion guides correspond to each episode, along with other helpful handouts. Just visit lifestylematters.com and click on Free Resources, or call the number on your screen to learn about better habits for a better life.
Now, let's check in to see how Chad is doing.
Now, I quit, but I still felt like an addict for a number of years. So I still felt like doing it, but I just wasn't doing it anymore. Or at least felt like I had this addictive personality, I should say. And then something happened that blew my mind. I had struggled with depression because I'd went and lived in Iceland for a year, and I got stomach trouble there. And that stomach trouble led to depression, but I didn't realize the two were connected. But now study after study after study after study has come out on something called the gut-brain connection. How what goes on in the gut can impact the mind, either positively and make you happier, or it can make you more depressed. And I was willing to do anything to get rid of the depression. I was having my devotions every day. I was seeking God at this point, but I was still struggling with this depression and still felt like I had this intensely addicted personality. But sure, I wasn't doing the drugs or drinking anymore. But then something happened. I tried something very strange. I tried a diet of what's called whole foods, just plant foods, just plants, and basically unprocessed. Many were cooked, you know, but I eat cooked and not cooked, but I was eating whole plant foods, and something happened. Within 2 weeks of changing my diet, tons of fruit, my depression began to go away. And after this dietary change of being on this incredible, simple, whole food, plant-based diet, my depression began to go away. I started feeling better than I'd ever felt in my life. My joint pain went away, and I began to feel what I thought most humans must feel like who are not addicted to stuff. I began to feel like, oh, I don't even care about, you know, addictive things. I'm just happy to be free. My body feels so good. My mind feels so good. I'm happy. I don't even want drugs. I don't even want these substances anymore. I am just happy. in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, they did a study on alcoholics specifically. And what they found is that people, toddlers, who have a good diversity of gut bacteria are happier, more social, and more outgoing. Then they also found that toddlers who had less diversity of gut bacteria were more antisocial, threw more tantrums, and were just simply crabbier. Now, then they did research on alcoholics in, like I said, the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. And what they discovered was that alcoholics that had more gut bacteria, when they quit their alcohol, were happier and less prone to going back to it. And the ones who had less gut bacteria ended up struggling over, you know, feeling more cravings for alcohol. That there's something about healing the gut and getting back to healthy foods can help heal our gut, give us the nutrition that our brain needs so that we become happier people. And that has been one of the most impactful things in my life. And I've stuck to it because I feel so good. I have more energy than I did when I was a young person. Clearly more at the age of 40. And I remember when I changed my diet at the age of 35, it was just revolutionary for my, it revolutionized my life, I can say that. And so I'm so thankful that God has impacted my life in these ways. I look at what he's done in my life, it was helping me to look away from the things of the world, from substances, from relationships to education. Yes, relationships and education have their place, but focusing on Jesus, number one. Drawing near to him, giving my heart to him, spending time in his word daily. Even having a dietary change it literally has changed my life in areas that I could have never, ever imagined. And all I can say is thank the Lord for what he's done for me.
Thank you so much for giving us your time. And thank you for joining us today in this wonderful new series, Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. There's more to come. And so let's just have a closing prayer together. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you who have begun a work in us will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. You are coming soon, and you are a master of bringing beauty from ashes. So I thank you today for this wonderful opportunity to share and bring hope to a desperate world. In Jesus' name, amen.